Let's all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let me ask you a question. I don't know your spiritual background right now. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're lost. But if you're saved, what you need to be doing now, now that you are a child of God, is to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And if you're lost here tonight, you need to get saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish. Everybody needs to be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. So what I'm going to preach about this evening is serving God. Let me ask you another question. Are you serving God in your local church? Are you serving God in your local church? When I got saved in February of 1979, I started serving God. From that day forward up to now, I have been serving the Lord. Whether it's being a Sunday school teacher, whether it's being a college and career course teacher, whether it's serving the military with meals, whether it's going soul winning, serve the Lord. That's where the joy is. God did not save us to sit. God saved us to serve. I did a word study. I did a word study. Serve God. It happened 5 times in the Bible. Serve the Lord 22 times. Serve man, 0. Serve self, 0. But what I want to preach tonight and encourage you to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. You need to be serving the Lord. So if you have your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, let's all stand. If you are able, may I ask you to stand in honor of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, beginning with verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you notice in this passage of Scripture, the word victory happens 3 times. 3 times. Now, I don't know anybody who goes to a ball game hoping that their team would lose. But here specifically it tells us how a Christian can have victory. How a Christian can have victory, and that is verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Which means if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you already have the victory. You already have the victory. And the victory that Christ had is through the gospel, specifically when he rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead. So let's talk about serving God, specifically or concisely, our labor for the Lord. Let's learn to serve God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word to your people. Dear God, I pray specifically, Lord, for that one here or two or more that is lost. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will prick their hearts, that they would come to Christ this evening. And Father, we who are saved and are not serving you, been saved for quite some time or just a month or a week, Lord, give us the desire to serve you. Give us a desire, Lord, because you served us. Help us, Lord, to serve you as well. We love you, Lord. Teach us now, Father, from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. One of the greatest privileges of being a child of God is serving God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we serve Christ, we should not have the mentality of good enough for government work. We should always do our best, our above and beyond our best. When I was in the military, we have regulations. We have in Air Force instructions. But there are some folks in the military that try to do shortcuts. When you serve God, don't do a shortcut. In other words, the Word of God gives you specifically how you can serve Him. In fact, when the Holy Spirit lives in a believer, He will help you to live the way God wants you to live. In fact, the only way that we can have a victorious Christian life is through the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit. So let's always remember that we are accountable to God. We are to serve God. You know, you have jobs. Some people work in the post office. Some people work at Walmart. Some people work somewhere else. And you have a supervisor. But put in your heart, put in your mind that you are ultimately responsible to Him. Responsible to God Almighty. To God Almighty. God did not save us to do nothing, but He saved us to serve. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ came here on earth in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." So if the Lord Jesus Christ served, then we ought to serve as well. We ought to serve as well. The first time, as I mentioned in the beginning, the word study, serve God. The very first time the phrase serve God was shown in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, where Moses is in front of the burning bush. In front of the burning bush, and God is telling him that I'm going to be using you to save my people out of Egypt. Verse number 12 of Exodus chapter number 3, it says, "And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." So here we have Moses going to Pharaoh as well. And we all know the story in Exodus chapter number 8 and throughout the other three chapters after that. Moses told Pharaoh that God said, "Let my people go." In Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." 8 times Moses told that to Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord. You know what? Pharaoh didn't realize who was talking. Thus saith the Lord. In fact, when you serve God, you need to remember also, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh disregarded that because he did not realize that it was God Himself that was speaking. Now, if God desires His people to serve Him, then we as His New Testament church should serve Him as well. Serving God is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's a commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4 says this, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments. Keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him." So there's a progression here when you serve God. The very first thing you need to do is fear Him. Fear God. Do you fear God when you serve Him? Do you fear God? Let's look at some verses about fearing. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then in Psalm 34, verse 9. Psalm 34, verse number 9 says, "O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there's no want to them that fear Him." Which means when you fear God, He will meet all of your need. He will meet all of your need, never lacking. And then in Psalm 67, verse 7. Psalm 67, verse 7 says, "God shall bless us." And I'm sure all of us want to be blessed from God. Amen? and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So we fear God so that he'll bless us. He'll bless us. And then Psalm 145, verse number 19 says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. You want your prayers answered? Fear God. You want your prayers answered? Fear God. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We don't fear God. We do not fear God because we're thinking that he's going to strike us dead. We fear God because who he is. Who he is. So we fear him. And then we obey his voice. We are obedient to him. And then the last part of Deuteronomy chapter 13 verse 4 says, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So you fear God. And then you obey his voice. And then you serve him. You serve him. In fact, Jesus himself told even the devil who he should serve. In Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4, beginning with, well, the whole chapter. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is when Satan, the devil, tempted Jesus three times. The first time was when he asked Christ to turn the stones into bread. The second time was he asked him to cast himself down. And then the third time, he asked him to fall down and worship me. In other words, serve me. But Jesus said here in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 4, says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we need to realize, brethren, who we are serving. Who we are serving. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want to focus on verse number 58. Verse number 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The very first thing, and we're going to cover four items here. The very first thing is number one, where it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, number one, know your position in Christ. Know your position in Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you will never, never abound in the work of the Lord if you doubt your salvation. If you doubt your salvation. If you are one who doubts your salvation, you need to get it settled so that you can begin serving the Lord, abounding in the Lord. In fact, Satan wants you to doubt your salvation. Because if you doubt your salvation, you are going to be ineffective for Christ. Whenever we sin, and that, praise God, that 1 John 1:9 is there, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That does not give us a license to sin. While we're here on earth, we can sin less. We'll never be sinless, but we can sin less because the Holy Spirit is in us. So we need not to doubt. If you know you're a sinner, and without Christ, you're destined to hell, but in one point in your life, one point in your life, you realize that you are going to hell without Christ, and you knew for a fact that in order to go to heaven, you needed to accept Christ, and you prayed, and you believed that you did, and Christ saved you. Your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rest on that. Don't doubt. When you doubt your salvation, you're not going to have happiness. You're not going to have joy. You're not, and Satan does not want you to have joy. Satan does not want you to have joy. So number one, we need to know our position in Christ. Secondly, we need to know what we believe. What we believe. In other words, we need to be spiritually grounded. Back in 1 Corinthians 15:58 says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. In other words, God wants every Christian to grow. God wants every Christian to be in the Word of God. I don't understand that if a person gets saved, he doesn't want to even be part of a local church. He doesn't even want to come to church. He doesn't even want to read the Bible. I question that salvation. I question that. Because when you receive Christ in your heart, there needs to be a change in your life. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to use you. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to change you. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. We need to be different. We need to be different. It is hard to abound in the Lord's work if we don't believe that the Lord's work is the right thing to do. Being steadfast is having the mindset that everything we do is to please God. And that's what it says in 1 John 3:22. To do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It's being careful and aware that whatever we do, people are watching us. We don't want to bring reproach to the name of Christ. We don't want to bring reproach to this church. We don't want to bring reproach to your pastor. In fact, if you are a member of this church, you are a representative of this church. More importantly, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. We need to be different. We need to be different. Being steadfast is having that mindset that everything we do, we are to please God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatever you do, whether you have a ministry here in church or whether you are working out there, people need to see that your Christianity is real. People need to see that Christ really lives in you. Because I believe that people are not turning to Christ because God's people is living like the world. And we are not supposed to be of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16 says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We are not supposed to be of the world. We live here in the world, but as we are living here in the world, let's not be of the world. Let's not be of the world. We need stability in our lives, especially in times of uncertainty. Times of uncertainty in the world today. God does not want us to sway from the truth due to our situations or circumstances. There is soundness and security to the child of God who has his trust in the Lord. When we trust the Lord completely, it removes fear and doubt. The devil wants us to be unstable, confused, and worried. But God wants us to be at peace, and rest. Being steadfast and unmovable does not come from a life free from difficulty or disturbances, but from completely depending on God and resting on the promises of the Word of God. In other words, where do you put your trust? Where do you put your trust? You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your trust in the Holy Word of God, the inerrant Word of God. So number one, we need to know our position. Secondly, we need to know what we believe. Thirdly, we need to always, like I mentioned a while ago, we need to always, always abound in the work of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In other words, as you serve God, whatever ministry, whatever you do for God, He will give you the grace to do it. He'll give you the grace to serve Him. The Lord wants to bless us as we continue to serve Him every day of our lives. And then fourthly, serving Jesus is not a waste of time. Serving Jesus is not a waste of time. If it was, then when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, that was a waste of time. But it was not a waste of time, brethren. It was not a waste of time. He stayed on the cross because He loves His creation. In fact, in Genesis, after Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? He said, Adam, where art thou? He wanted to have fellowship with Adam. He wanted to have fellowship with him because He loved him. He wanted to save His creation, and He wants to say to you, whatever your name is, where art thou? Where art thou? Serve me, and I will bless you. Serve me, and I will bless you. Jesus was not a waste of time. Examples, why it's not a waste of time? He called His apostles. Why wasn't it a waste of time? Because they did great things for God in the book of Acts. He healed the demonic of Gadarene. Why was it not a waste of time? Because a whole city came out to see Jesus. He also went to Samaria to see the woman at the well. Why wasn't it not a waste of time? Because many Samaritans believed on the Lord. And then lastly, he healed the man with the palsy. Why wasn't it not a waste of time? Because multitudes marveled and glorified God. In other words, whatever you do, brethren, glorify God. Put in your mind, I'm not serving man. I'm not serving self. I'm serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that one day I'm going to stand in that judgment hall at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to be, your life is going to show. I'm not sure everybody's going to see it, but your life is going to show, and from the time you got saved to the time you died, the time God took you home, all that is going to be reviewed. Before you got saved, that's gone. That's in the blood. That's under the blood. But now that you're saved, serve God. Serve God. Be faithful to Him. Be faithful to Him. Love your fellow man. Go soul winning. Serve, whatever you do, I'm sure this church has soul winning. I'm sure this church has Sunday school. I'm sure this church has a ministry where you can go to your pastor and say, Pastor Angel. Yeah, I said his name right. Pastor Angel, I want to serve in this local church. What can I do? You know what? He's going to probably fall down and say, wow, where did you hear that preaching? So I'm encouraging you. If you don't have a ministry in this church, serve God. Because you will never, ever regret serving God. Because it is the joy in serving the one who saved you. The one who wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life that will never be erased. In other words, once saved, always saved. Always saved. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you can lose your salvation. Because the Holy Spirit is in you forever. Forever. Forever is a long time. But while we're here on earth, while we have our breath, while we have our being, always, always, always put in your mind that I need to serve God, because God wants you to serve Him. God wants to bless you. God wants to guide you. Everybody here, God has a purpose for your life. Ask it. Ask God, what is my purpose here in life? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, God, for this church. I rejoice, dear God, in thee. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the salvation of all those here whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Lord, peradventure, someone here is lost. Someone here, as soon as they close their eyes and perish, Lord, they're going to go straight to hell. But Lord, you came here on earth so that they don't have to go to hell. And I pray, dear God, for that one soul or more, that tonight would be the night of their salvation. And Lord, we who are saved, please help each one of us to realize, whatever we do, that we need to serve you. You are our perfect example. You served us. Ultimately, you served us by giving yourself on the cross of Calvary. I pray, dear God, for each one here. Put in their hearts, put in their minds, Lord, that they need to be faithful. They need to serve you. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved here this evening? If not, you need to be. God wants you to be saved. This church wants you to be saved. That, in fact, that's the reason why this church is here. So that you can hear the gospel and be saved. But if you're saved already and not serving God, not being faithful, not desiring what God wants you to do, then I pray that you would ask God. Ask God, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? 2016, God called me to the ministry. 2017, God called me to preach. 2018, God called me to military missions. And all that time before that, I was asking God, God, what is the purpose of my existence? And you could have that same question to God as well. And God will give you that purpose. Ask it. Pray for it. And believe me, God will show you.